This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm delighted to be with you today. I'm always delighted to be with you. You make my day, and I am so grateful that you incorporate Women of Grace Live into your day as well. We love hearing from you. Let's light up the lines today. Let us do that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Today is Wednesday. That means it's Wacky Wednesday. We talk about the weird and the wacky through the course of our program, and we're encouraging you to call in with your questions or comments. Very frequently, we discover that even though we talk about a topic seemingly a lot, there are always questions that arise, regarding it. And one of the reasons for that is because these various kinds of things that we see coming at us through ideologies that are very far away from the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church constantly are morphing. They're always changing. There's always sort of like a little addendum to them or a little twist, a little turn that makes them appear as though there's something different. But in their base, in the essence of what they are, they're the same. So we like to uncover all of that. We like to get the subterfuge, so to speak, out of the way so that we can see the reality of the thing. So, you know, there is no question that is off limits with regard to these things. You know, we welcome your questions. We welcome your comments. We welcome your experiences. So very frequently, many of you have had experiences with the occult, experiences with, the human potential movement, Eastern Oriental mysticism and its various practices that have been very negative in your life. And your testimony, your sharing of your story helps other people to make good, solid decisions. So we always welcome your testimonies with regard to these things. How do you reach us? Well, it's a toll-free number for you here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us. You can also join us if you're outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. Country code 1-205-271-2985. That is the number to use if you're outside of North America. The North America number again, toll free, 833-288-EWTN. And don't forget, we have opportunity for you via social media. Simply go out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Use the chat feature at both of those sites. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will get it retrieved and up on the board, and we'll be able to address it. We've got Pedro Quiles out there doing the retrieving. I'm not sure if it's Tom Price or if it's Michael McCall who is doing the phone answering today. It's Tom. I see it now. Tom is screening. Yay. All right. Tom Price is there. Be sure to give him a big old howdy hey. Tom has a lovely smile. He's got a very nice broad smile. So give him a very nice broad smile back when you call in with your question or comment. We look forward to hearing from you there. In addition to all of that, we invite you to use the texting option. Just text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Put in your question or comment, of course. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Do know that message and data rates may apply. Sue Brinkman is with us today because why? It's Wacky Wednesday, and we call ourselves the Women of Wacky Wednesday on Wednesdays. And I got to tell you, when I am out and about, people come up to me and tell me, oh my gosh, we love Wacky Wednesday. You and Sue are so funny. We are funny for all kinds of various reasons. But this stuff, it can make you a little loopy. We get a little loopy on these days, but not loopy enough to not give you the information that is very important for you as you seek to lead your life in Christ Jesus. Do want to remind you about a couple of Women of Grace things. I'm so excited about this. I mean, here we are. It's July the 2nd. And in the not too distant future, we are going to be at Malvern Retreat House, St. Joseph in the Hills. That's there. It's so beautiful and so lovely. It's located in Malvern, PA, which is just outside of Philadelphia. Beautiful ride. Oh my golly. It's a beautiful ride from the airport to the Malvern Retreat House. I mean, you know, there are some parts of Pennsylvania that are absolutely exquisite. And this is a very exquisite part of Pennsylvania. And you drive through these rolling hills and farmlands and great big homes and horse estates. And I mean, it's just absolutely glorious. It's just beautiful. Buck County is a beautiful, beautiful county there in Pennsylvania. And you have the opportunity of being right there, so to speak, at Malvern Retreat House. It's on 135 acres of property, with Stations of the Cross in various places. So there's more than one opportunity for that. There are shrines to the Blessed Mother. There's a beautiful grotto to Our Lady of Lourdes that really is almost an identical depiction of the one in Lourdes, France. The accommodations, etc., just treat you to all of these various beautiful, beautiful sites. But what is most important is we come together to talk about the realities of our life as daughters of the Most High God. And we've got a great theme this year. It is a Jubilee year. It's the Jubilee Year of Hope. And so we're building on that theme of this year in the church. The theme for our event is Hope for the Journey. Hope for the Journey. I just love the graphic. Get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. It's number one in the slideshow. The graphic comes up there. I have to say, so I'm going to do a little bragging. I don't often brag about my daughters and my son, but I'm doing a little bragging here about my daughter, Thea. She is the one who does the graphics for Women of Grace. And I just love this graphic. I love everything about it. I love the font that she used. I love the image that she used. I just think it's really, really quite lovely. And in and of itself speaks a message. In and of itself speaks a message. And I think that that's the intentionality with which she does all of the graphics at Women of Grace. But it's quite lovely, quite beautiful. And we want for you to get out there, most importantly, to sign up and register and to be with us. You're going to see right on that graphic all of the speakers that are going to be there. You know, I'm going to be there. Bishop William Walterscheid of the Diocese of Pittsburgh is going to be there. What a wonderful spiritual father he is to Women of Grace. And you're going to have the opportunity to meet him, to greet him, to interact with him. He has such a beautiful gift of spiritual paternity. You'll get to experience that, but you'll also get to become acquainted with the depth of his spiritual life as he presents through the course of this weekend. He is a third order Carmelite and just gives us a great insight into the spiritual dimension of our life in Christ Jesus. You know, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You're going to love him. You will be regaled with Kitty Cleveland. Her vocals are absolutely tremendous. But in addition to that, she's a marvelous presenter. She's going to be giving us a real message of hope, a message of hope that she and her family lived through when her father was unjustly imprisoned. What a story it's going to be. Patricia Sandoval is with us. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited about Patricia coming. This is her first time at a Women of Grace event. She is a beautiful, beautiful woman who went through tremendous difficulties and trials in her life. But those difficulties and trials have led to this full life in Christ Jesus. You're going to see how all that worked out. Dr. Donald Wallenfang, our academic advisor, is going to be there presenting on ever so many topics relating to hope. And I'm going to give you more because I want to tell you about the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar that precedes this retreat. I'll give you the details when we come back. Stay with us. Well, there is the music signaling that it is Wednesday on Women of Grace Live. It's Wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman has joined us. We're going to get to Sue in just a minute. Yes, we are. We're inviting you to call in with your questions, with your comments, any kind of a word of encouragement that you want to give to somebody regarding the weird and the wacky that we see happening in our culture today. People wandering off to fables, St. Paul, so prescient, talking about about his own day and time, but actually giving a prophetic word for this time, where he talks about people will no longer listen to the truth. They will wander off to fables and to teachers who will tickle their ears. Yep, and that's what we've got. We've got a whole nation, really a whole the whole of Western civilization right now, whose ears are being tickled, and they're wandering off to these crazy fables. We talk about it on Wacky Wednesday because we don't want you to be one of those individuals. We want to help you determine the truth from the falsehood that is out there. So we invite you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Tom Price answering the phone today out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, as well as manning the texting option, I think, is Pedro Quiles. And in for Vanessa Sanchez, our producer, is the one, the only, Ace McKay. So we are a happy group here today. I do want to finish up telling you about this marvelous retreat that's coming up at Women of Grace. I was telling you all about the speakers and how pretty the graphics are and all of these things, and I didn't give you the dates. It is this month. It's July 25th through the 27th. July 25th through the 27th. That's the last weekend in July. And I am inviting you to join us there to hear these wonderful speakers and to experience what the Holy Spirit is going to do when we come together. And I can tell you this, there are always abundant blessings. We have a healing service. We always find people being healed. Some people healed of physical maladies, people healed of emotional difficulties and trials, people just getting reignited in their faith. I mean, all kinds of things happen at these events. We don't want you to miss it. So I'm inviting you personally to sign up and to join us. It is preceded by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Now, this seminar is going to be presented by our academic advisor, Dr. Donald Wallenfang. And I'll tell you what, it is truly, I think, a very fascinating topic, one I cannot wait to hear. Really cannot wait to hear this. Consecrating conflict, finding hope in the struggle. That is what Dr. Donald Wallenfang will be presenting at our Benedicta Enrichment Institute. And if you've ever attended one of these, you know that it's very interactive. We try to keep the numbers to a level where we can interact. We may be close to full in that. I don't have the new numbers, but I know that when I went away last week, we were very, very near full. So there's probably still a couple of seats available for this Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Please do come to that. We've got seats available for you for the retreat. So sign up for both, sign up for one or the other. We just want you to come. And I do want to remind you too, that we're having a beautiful, beautiful day for our young women of grace on this Saturday, July the 26th. And I'd love for you to take a look at that for your daughter, for your niece, for your granddaughter, for your daughter and her friends. And once again, the graphic is just charming. It's out there, number 2 in the slideshow. I'm just big on the graphics. And it is a retreat for teen girls. Be virtuous, be hopeful, be happy. What a theme. Be virtuous, be hopeful, be happy. The girls, if you're traveling in and you're bringing your daughter or your granddaughter or your niece with you, she can certainly come to our Friday evening kickoff of the retreat. She can stay and obviously be with us for Sunday's presentation, but Saturday, a special day just for teen girls. So we invite you to check it out. There's going to be fun activities. You're going to hear from inspiring speakers. We'll all be addressing the girls. There's a lot of discussion and a lot of fellowship. There's confession, mass, music, prayer. They have a great time. The girls have a great time. I have to admit that in the past, some of the girls kind of were pulled there by their moms. But so they come in looking like, I don't know what my mother got me into. When they leave, they are all smiling and they are all happy and they have met new friends, and it's just lovely. So join us for all of those things. But now to the topic of the day, Wacky Wednesday, the weird and the wacky. Sue Brinkman is with us. Hello, Sue.
Hello. It's so nice to hear you. You hear your voice now that you're back from your vacation. You're all rested and ready to get wacky.
Oh, well, you know, I'm back. I can't say I'm rested. you know how it is with some vacations. You know, you expend a whole lot of energy. Yeah. I walked. I mean, we were looking at the number of steps that we walked every day. We walked thousands of steps. So we were really packing in the miles. So I have myself in reasonable shape from that week, you know, at least good conditioning. So I'm hoping to continue with it. So far, I haven't been successful, but I'm hoping. to turn the tide on that one.
You need a rest. You've got to rest a little bit first, right?
Yeah. Well, you just got to get your time clock changed over, you know. That's the thing about international travel. You're like out of whack. But I think, which is perfect for today, to be a little out of whack on this day is always perfect. So you've got a topic for us. Helen has been waiting since almost the beginning of the program. She's in Scranton, PA. So I think I'd like to take her call, if that's okay with you, Sue, and then we can get to the topic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we invite all of you to call 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, or use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Well, Helen, you have been a patient woman. You're with us from Scranton, PA, listening via JMJ Radio. We're happy to have you. So what's going on? Helen, are you there? Yeah, Helen. Well, Helen, oh, there she is. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
It's good to have you. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm dandy. Thank you for asking. Rested. I'm finally rested.
Well, that's a good thing. That's
yes, it is. It is. So you've got a question about something having to do with enchanted sight. What is this?
Yes, it's, I don't really know what to call it. I will call it like a new age practice. And this is a very small group of people that believe they communicate with the Almighty through like locution and inner messaging. And when I tell you they do it for everything, we could be at a restaurant and it's about what should I order? Should I get, you know, a tuna salad sandwich or a cheeseburger? It's exasperating to me because every decision is based on this odd practice. And they're a very small group of people, but I don't know how to deal with this.
So let me just, so somebody that you know is involved with this, obviously, since you've got direct contact with this person and it irritates you.
I see socially, and this is a very good person who grew up in the Catholic Church, has all his sacraments. I'm not really sure why he's estranged from the church, but he is. When I have a special occasion at Mass or the holidays, he'll go with me, but he's not practicing anymore. But this strange behavior has me very concerned, and I quite frankly I just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. So Sue, what
Other
do you
than
say?
I avoid it like the plague.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
I don't blame you for doing that, for wanting to avoid it. And the fact that he's not practicing his faith anymore is a big red flag to me about where this enchanted sight is coming from. There's a thing called enchantment sight. And that's how you have some special, like your irises in your eye take on a special tinge and allow you to see creatures within 60 feet of you who also have this enchantment effect. This is a very occult-oriented thing. It doesn't sound like, though, what you're saying. You're saying that these people have kind of a special connection to God. And that they have an enchanted sight of some kind. And it's a small group, very small, because I've never heard of it. I've never heard of it before. The fact that you're saying that this person isn't practicing their faith anymore, and he was, you know, a strong Catholic, is telling me that there's something very wrong with this enchanted sight. And I don't know how much you want to hang around with this person. You're saying it's getting on your nerves and stuff. I mean, maybe kind of distance yourself a little bit from this person.
You know,
I don't know what else to suggest.
Yeah, I want to talk about this for just a moment. First of all, you know, when we talk about mysticism, you know, mysticism is a big phrase. And mysticism can incorporate things that are authentic and things that are inauthentic. And so drawing the line between what is of God and what is not of God with regard to this is why people who are having these kinds of experiences need to be under really serious spiritual direction. One of the things that we do know with regard to authentic mysticism is that we are not to be seeking these kinds of supernatural gifts. If God disposes and gives someone that gift needs to be discerned through spiritual direction, but we're not to be chasing after these things. So as soon as we see someone that is striving to acquire these kinds of things, it gives an opportunity for the evil one to get in there. And he is a great counterfeiter. And so he will begin to counterfeit a gift, to draw somebody more and more and more into his clutches, and then take them places where they, begin to experience much spiritual distress, a type of bondage, which can happen. So there's that. And let me just say this, that we've got a beautiful study that's available in our Moments with Mary study series called Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics. And the teaching mechanism are video interviews that I did with Colin Donovan, who is our vice president for theology here at EWTN. And he goes through all of this. He teaches us the difference between authentic and inauthentic mysticism, what to watch out for, what the church looks for. It's a fascinating series. I really encourage you to take that study. We offer it online as well as in person. You can get the study itself through EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. We need to be careful. So that's number one. When we go seeking these kinds of gifts, we are opening ourselves up to potential danger. We are told not to seek them. And many of the great saints, and Sue, you know this better than I, Teresa of Avila, she's very clear, in saying that we should regard these kinds of things with suspicion. So that's number one. Number two, scrupulosity. I happen to know that there are some people who will surround themselves with an individual that they think are particularly gifted, and they think that every decision that they make has got to receive some kind of approbation from God by way of this person that seems to have mystical gifts, or if there isn't a person, by way of signs and wonders that God will perform in their lives that tells them this is the way to go. And so when you're talking about this guy and he can't even order off of a menu without consulting whatever it is that he thinks he needs to consult, whatever entity that is, there's a problem there. And it's a type of scrupulosity, which leads into a total dependence upon these kinds of interior sensations that would come through. God gave us a brain, and he expects for us to use the mind that he's given to us. He expects for us to use sensibilities here. You don't have to pray to the Lord and ask, should I paint the room blue or should I paint it yellow? I think that God created all colors. They're equal in his sight. So which one do you like, So those are just a couple of thoughts that come into my mind, Sue, as we listen to what Helen is presenting here.
Yes. And I do appreciate your bringing up Teresa of Avila, mentioning this warning about seeking the higher mystical gifts in that. Because as she points out, that's a higher price that you're going to pay for achieving these gifts. So in other words, your suffering in that is going to be, commensurate with the amount of gifts that you're given, so that you should be careful what you're asking for. You may not be ready, which is why the Lord doesn't give them to too many people, because you may not be ready for that level of purification that you would have to go through in order to have these gifts, to use these gifts for God's sake, mm-hmm. and not for your own. See, as long mm-hmm. as that ego is so alive and that self-love in you is so alive, you have a tendency then to take these gifts and think it's because you're so special and you're so holy. That's just a natural instinct of ours. And as you go through the different stages of the spiritual life and you get closer and closer to God, closer to union with God, he's going to start to purify you of that self-love and that ego so that you're not going to care about yourself or what people think about you anymore. You're going to live solely for him. And if he chooses to give you gifts, that's fine. If he chooses not to, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to get to that point. So I think that was a good thing that you pointed that out, that many of the great mystics warn you, be careful what you ask for. And this kind of thing where you're needing to turn to God to order something from the menu doesn't ring true to me. That doesn't ring true to me. God gives us, you know, free will. He wants us to live our life. He wants us to be human. He created us as humans. He never undermines that humanity. He insists and elevates it, but he wants us to behave like human beings, exactly. And not like mystical creatures always looking up at the sky for guidance about every step that you want to take. So. Yeah. Anyway, I feel for you, Helen, for having to deal with this because you don't want to hurt his feelings or anything like that. I would definitely take him to prayer and pray for him that his eyes will be open.
Truly open.
Truly opened to the truth of Jesus Christ so that he gets to the point where he doesn't need these fantastic gifts anymore. All he needs is Jesus, and in him we always have enough.
Yes. Well, to your point, Sue, about, you know, God gives us free will, what is saying, I think it's Augustine says, you know, love God and then do what you will, right? So, you know, love God, you know, and then if you want tuna, have it. Anyway, Helen, I'm so sorry. And I know that this is a suffering for you, but I think that Sue's advice is perfect. Pray for your friend. When the opportunity presents itself, you know, try to have a conversation with him because you want to try to save him from going down this path any further than he's already gone down it. Anyway, that's what we can offer you today on that. And friends, we've got more coming on the other side of the break. Eager to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Toll free for you in North America. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm here today with Sue Brinkman. It's Wednesday. It's a wacky Wednesday. We look forward to getting your questions about the weird and the wacky that you see out there. Always eager to hear from you. Toll-free number for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature is there for you to use. But what do you do with it? Well, you put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We get it retrieved. It gets up on our board and we'll be able to address it. We've got Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving. We have Ace McKay in the studios today for Vanessa Sanchez. And we've got Tom Price on the phone. So we invite you to join us. Yay! We want to hear from you. We've got Daniel with us, Sue. Daniel is in New York State listening to us through Sirius XM, station 130. Good morning, Daniel.
Hi there. How's it going?
Oh, it's going real well. What about with you?
Not bad. I guess my question would be, recently I had dinner at a Jamaican restaurant and it got me thinking, what does the church think of Rastafarians?
Okay, it's a good question to ask, Sue.
Well, Rastafarians, that's based on the belief that Haile Selassie, the former emperor of Ethiopia, is the incarnation of God. So the church would not in any way condone Rastafarianism, which is what it would be called. And this is because it's the worship of false gods. So that's a violation of the first commandment.
So how does that help you, Daniel?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, usually when I think of those people, I think of them. They just like smoking weed, listening to Bob Marley. I know weed is part of their culture too.
Yeah, well, I also think it might well be part of the religious practice. I mean, there are a lot of religions that are outside of the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church that incorporate, various kinds of drugs, I guess you would say, into their religious practices. You mm-hmm. know, we know that there are numbers of them that, smoke opium and hash and marijuana, of course. So I think that a lot of that has to do with a lot of those drugs will lead to hallucinatory experiences auditorially and visually, and they feel as though they're getting in touch with the spirit world through that, and that's part of their hoped for result, and so they'll use these kinds of means to acquire that, what they consider to be benefit of their religion.
That's true. That's true, John. It's called ganja smoking, and it's a ritualistic practice for many Rastafarians that they believe it enhances their meditation and their spiritual awareness. So, and also, Bob Marley was a big member, a key figure in the Rastafarian movement, and he was, of course, the musician, very prominent reggae music musician. But the ganja smoking, you're absolutely right about that. It's part of their practice.
Yeah, I think of a lot of the Native American tribes also. I think that's the definitive answer on that. So basically, it's a false religion. It's not based on an understanding of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so it's not one that we would promote. But I think it's one that's attractive to, or at least for a period of time, was attractive to a lot of young people who were not of that ethnic background, because it permitted these kinds of things and it helped ease their conscience, maybe, that they could have a both and kind of a situation. They could do their drugs and they could say it's spiritual, and it filled some kind of a need in their lives. So, but I do thank you for your call, Daniel. And, it's lovely when we have an opportunity to talk about things that we haven't talked about. And I don't think we've ever really talked about Rastafarianism, have we, Sue?
No, we haven't. In fact, no. I'm going to put it in my library that we have it. Yeah, I don't have it in the library now, but I just made a note of it 2 seconds ago. So we're on the same wavelength. Rastafarianism into the library. So, but it's a good one. And apparently there are some people who very much adhere to this. And they believe that Haile Selassie I, now Haile Selassie I, but it was back in the 1930s, I think, is when it started, that he's God. Yeah. So, and they're just kind of going along with that. So, interesting, very interesting.
Well, you give me a good opportunity here to mention, when you say, you're going to put this into the library. Sue is talking about the New Age blog that's available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. And Sue has been writing, doing research on all of these things for numbers and numbers of years. And she writes about them and they find their way into the New Age blog. And each one of these various kinds of strange things that we talk about here, you can find numbers of articles on. And here we've got a whole brand new topic that she'll be opening up. But when it comes to yoga, when it comes to occult practices, tarot card reading, for example, seeing a psychic, a medium, all of these kinds of things, there is an abundance of articles on each one of these in the New Age blog. So get on out there and take a look at it. I think that we've got probably over 1,700 questions and answers that Sue has expounded upon through that blog in all of these years. So we invite you to use it. It's free to use. We know that it's broadly used by lots of priests, some of whom are exorcists, people that do spiritual direction. So it's very, very helpful to know. So get on out there, take advantage of it, use it. You can always look it up by topic because that's available to you there too. So check it on out. So Sue, what is on your mind these days? What is going on there?
Well, we have some questions. We've had a lot of questions over the last few weeks, but the latest one is it okay for Catholics to listen to the podcast, The Telepathy Tapes? This is so big, this podcast, that it bumped Joe Rogan out of top spot on Spotify. Everybody's listening to this. It was a. It's made by a documentary filmmaker named Kai Dickens, and in it, she explores this possibility of nonverbal autistic children being able to read minds. And she works alongside a psychologist named Dr. Diane Powell, and they conduct experiments on their different podcasts, such as like they give parents certain numbers and words to think about, which their child is then asked to guess. And then in one of the episodes, the child appeared to have guessed 100% of these questions or numbers or whatever with her telepathic gifts. The problem with the show is that it's mostly based on anecdotal evidence. And there's a lot of suspicion about whether or not the parents are maybe in some way could be queuing up their children to select the right answer. So that's kind of like the media's interpretation of it. But as far as neuroscience goes, Stephen Ovella, I write about him a lot. He's a Yale neuroscientist. What the telepathy tapes is promoting is a rehashed version of what's known as facilitated communication, or FC. And this is where you take, you know, a nonverbal child or person with either autism or some other neurological condition. And, you know, they might have a rich intellectual life, but they're just unable to communicate their thoughts due to these physical limitations. And in an FC, the facilitator does things like helps to raise their arm or holds up a letter board in front of them that they can, and that helps them to point at it. And now the problem is that facilitated communication, or FC, was pretty much disproven in the 1990s. But what the telepathy tapes is doing is resurrecting it and then taking it a step further and asserting that these people are also psychic, that they can read minds. They can tap into a cosmic library of information and spiritually communicate with other telepathic non-speakers. So they're taking this to another level. The problem with it is that, you know, a lot of the people like Dr. Powell, she's always been involved in the paranormal. She's always been promoting this kind of stuff. She served as director of research at the John E. Mack Institute. That was named after that famous Harvard professor. He was a believer in alien abductions. He had authored that really famous book, Abduction, Human Encounters with Aliens. So they're kind of in that field to begin with. But the thing that I point out to people in the blog is that the church doesn't dismiss the idea of parapsychology, which includes telepathy, clairvoyance, psychokinesis, other phenomena that are considered scientifically inexplicable. But this doesn't mean that you go around and dabble in it. You have to understand that in psychic phenomena, humans are spiritual creatures. We're not just a body. We also have a soul, and we live in a universe that contains not only the natural but the supernatural. And when you start fooling around in this stuff in ways that aren't natural to you, we already have established that everybody has some kind of psychic ability. This is like, you know, couples who are married for 30 years that can read each other's minds, or a mother who just instinctively knows that her child is in danger somewhere. These are all normal, natural psychic abilities. But you cross the line when you begin to try to tap into them and use them to divine the future. And this is where the church's warnings come in about this stuff. So, you know, some forms of psychic phenomena are outright forbidden. such as anything that involves divination and attempts to see the future, like clairvoyance, and any that attempt to tame occult powers, of course, which would be sorcery, you know, the use of magic and that. So people can, if they want to watch the telepathy tapes podcast, they can do that. But just be aware, you know, like, don't believe everything you hear, regardless of how impressively it's presented, because a lot of the stuff here really has not been proven clinically. You know, you just run the risk of starting to say, well, you know, maybe I could do this and I could start to, you know, fool around in this divination, that sort of thing, and then just get led down the wrong path.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we all have some psychic abilities. We have blogs about that on our New Age Q&A blog. In fact, one is actually called Don't We All Have Psychic Abilities? And yes, we do all have them. The difference, though, between normal ESP and what psychics do is that in the normal case, you're not seeking it. You're not inviting it. Psychic, on the other hand, actively crosses that line and tries to engage those powers for purposes of a divination or whatever else they might be doing it. So the telepathy tapes, yeah, you can watch it. Just watch it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. One of the ways in which you get into trouble with that, Sue, of course, is that once you start to go down that road, you are opening yourself up to you know, powers and principalities that are only too quick to come in and try to take advantage of your curiosity in this. And I go back to a beautiful book that was written by, and I cite it frequently, and so do you, by Father Benedict Rochelle, called A Still Small Voice. And it had to do with apparitions, you know, supposed appearances of our Blessed Lady. And how do we discern these things? And one thing that he used a phrase in there that it was the first time I was introduced to the phrase. And so it made a deep impression on me. And I've used it since then, a morbid curiosity. You know, when we get involved in having a curiosity that is morbid, meaning that it can lead to bad stuff, ultimately to spiritual death, then we run the risk of getting into trouble. You know, a mom who senses that there's something the matter with her child, you know, or a husband and wife who have lived together for a number of years and really just know each other's habits and how they think about things, you know, knowing, you know, being able to say, oh, he's not going to like that, or she's not going to like that. You know, as you say, these are natural to the human person. I love the fact that you point out that we're a body soul component. And so the soul, you know, which is pure spirit, that aspect of ourselves, you know, can operate in that realm. But the problem is when we over attend to that, we're not to over attend either way. We're not to over attend to the body, nor are we to over attend to, you know, spiritual gifts, which brings us back to Helen and Helen's call. You know, obviously we're to attend to the soul. You know, we want to attend to our relationship with God, but with these kinds of gifts. And doesn't the Catechism of the Catholic Church and that whole section there on where it's talking about superstition and all of that, doesn't it also state that you know, clairvoyance, it even names clairvoyance as something that's forbidden?
Absolutely, it does. Clairvoyance, telepathy,
horoscope reading,
horoscopes. Absolutely, astrology. All of these things are you got to be careful, because remember, just the turning toward them can be enough for the devil to think he's got permission. Now that you gave him permission. Just that turning toward it to say, okay, I like kind of what I'm hearing on telepathy tapes. Why don't I just try this to see if I can discern what it is she's going to do with a certain situation? There you go. You've crossed the line. You're wanting to use that for something you're not supposed to do. And you may have inadvertently, just in that turning toward these powers that are not sourced in God necessarily, that can be a permission slip being handed the devil.
Yeah.
So you have to be really careful about that. And that's because of that human soul, you know, composite that we are, that you're not dealing just with the natural forms of these things. But there's a supernatural element too, and you could be inviting them in.
Yeah.
You could be inviting them in, even if you're not intending to, because remember, the devil doesn't care about your intentions. He only cares about what you're doing. You're doing it, doesn't care why you're doing it. You're doing it. So, yeah, that you can really run a lot of risks by fooling around in this. I think that's the danger, really, of the telepathy tapes and getting too wrapped up in this stuff. If you want to read the scientific view of it, I have several books here where I've read just the science part of it. And they haven't really proven any of this stuff. And they've tried.
Well, one of the things, too, is I think that we always want to ask ourselves, you know, the question, why am I attracted to this? What is attracting me to this? Mm. Why do I want to watch this podcast, for example? And then the second question is it leading me closer to our Lord or is it leading me away? You know, and often I think if we know ourselves and to go back to your spiritual mother, St. Teresa of Avila, you know, she talks about this discernment of the, you know, movements of the soul, you know, what's drawing us. And she talks about the importance of self-knowledge. And we know, you know, I think that we deep down, we know if we are being attracted to something for a good reason or a bad reason. We know the difference between the interior sensation that we experience. You know, we know that. At least I know that. I know when something is grabbing my attention that could lead me into trouble versus when something is drawing me into, you know, a deepening reality of my life in Christ. I know the difference. And I think that we know the difference, you know, and when we get that sense of titillation that the evil one, you know, will strive to incite in us, when we get that's when we have to shut it down right away, because this is a lower passion of the soul. And we've, you know, mm-hmm. that's where we don't want to reside. And so we've got to turn it down right away, because you open that door, it's just that one bite of that apple, and pretty soon you've consumed the whole thing, you know?
Exactly. And it's very easy to go down that path, especially in something like this that's so well done.
Yeah.
And they actually act out, you know, all the different scenes so that you can feel like you're there. It's very similar to what Dr. Martins does, Father Martins rather, does in The Exorcist Files. He actually acts it out.
Yeah, it's a dramatic presentation.
Yes, very dramatic. And it just kind of sweeps you right in there. And I think this is one thing about this. It's very well done. She's a professional documentarian, and she knows how to do this. And she's got a, you know, well-spoken psychologist who works with her, this Dr. Powell, and they're very, very convincing. And you look at some of these cases where the children did get things 100% right, and you think to yourself, mm-hmm. well, how could that be? Yeah. You can see how easy it is for somebody to really get led down that road. And they're not – you're getting, like, so swept away with it that you're not realizing that, hey, a lot of this is just anecdotal.
Right.
Like, you know, why can't we prove this in a laboratory? Why hasn't this ever been done? Right. I believe that the James Randi Foundation still has a $1 million award ready to give to anyone who can prove the existence of these psychic abilities under a laboratory situation.
Yeah. Well,
and nobody's ever claimed it. Nobody's ever won it.
It closes down. What happens is you get involved outside of the rational, critical thinking skills that are necessary. I want to get to Mimi very quickly. She's in Virginia. She's listening to us via Sirius XM station 130. She has a quick comment for us. Hey, Mimi, we've just got a couple of minutes left here, so I want to give them to you.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a quick comment on when you mentioned about praying for what color walls to paint it, blue or yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I had been waiting on a car for 4 years, and it had gone through all these different colors, and they finally had it in a baby blue and a baby yellow. And I couldn't decide because I love both colors, and I thought about the yellow. But I've been waiting for 4 years. And when we went to see them in the evening, I wasn't still decided. I was leaning towards yellow, and I thought, oh, you know, I haven't prayed about this. I said a quick prayer, and before I finished my prayer, I have a vision of the Virgin Mary in her white tunic and her blue veil. And that's the colors of the car. So I said, you know what? I turned to my husband, blue.
So, that's so beautiful.
Well, and understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's wrong to do such things. I don't want you to interpret it that way. And I think that that's beautiful. And I think that that would have been my first choice immediately for the very reason that you decided on it being the one that you wanted. But I was using that simply as an example to say that it's okay. You know, it's okay to make a decision. But I'm glad you got that beautiful blue car. And I'm sure that every time you're in it, you're thinking of Our Lady. Thanks, Mimi. That is just absolutely beautiful and charming in every way. So it is good to be back in the saddle again with you, and looking forward to being with you again next week. We are inviting all of you to get out to our website to read that New Age blog, and also to go out there to the library and click on Grace Under Fire. These are podcasts that Sue does on various topics that we discuss here on Women of Grace Live on Wednesdays, and that are part of our New Age blog. So all kinds of ways that we can provide you with good info. Till we're together again, God bless you now. Bye-bye.